where to have you turn, because we'll be turning to a couple of passages, and I hope that doesn't discourage you from turning, because it's important that as much as possible that you follow along. But I want to speak about a phrase that maybe has fallen into bad reputation because of misunderstanding. But it's a good phrase, I think, and I want to explain what it means. Have you ever heard this phrase, let go and let God? Have you heard that? Have you used it? It's a phrase, really, that believers in the past used frequently, but I think it's often misunderstood today. Let me explain what it means. Let go means to let go of your self-will. It means to let go of your self-power. It means let go of self-dependence. It's just another way of saying surrender. Surrender, let go. And then the rest of the phrase, let God means to trust in God and His will and trust in God's power. It's God dependence. And you know what? It's really a call to faith. It's a call to trust the Lord, to depend upon Him. You know, when we were children, I don't know about you, but we liked to see who could be in charge. We had we played games where we'd maybe two guys would wrestle, and eventually, you know, you'd get on top of the other guy and you'd hold him down and maybe even twist his arm a little bit until he said, "Uncle, say uncle," you know. I don't know why uncle, but you would make him surrender to you, you know. Or maybe you'd find a pile of dirt or a pile of sand, and you'd get on top of that, and you were the king of the hill, and all the other kids would try to come up and knock you off and be king in your place. And we would play those things, those kinds of games. And when I think about it, you know, it really appealed to me. When you surrender up your will and your power to God in exchange for God's will and God's power, you're transferring dependence from yourself to God. And I think that perhaps the most difficult thing for human beings to do is that, is to surrender. That's why we like playing Say Uncle or I'm King of the Hill, because the last thing we want to do is surrender. It's just who we are. It's like everything in human nature rebels against having to surrender. But surrender is really the hill that being a Christian begins on and ends on. By that I mean, you can't be saved if you don't surrender. And if you're saved, you can't be sanctified if you don't surrender. So surrender is really the whole thing that let go and let God really is calling us to. So let's pause a moment and pray, and then let's think about that for a moment together. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you know how to bring your people to that place of surrender. You know how to bring a sinner to that place of surrender. And those of us that are here tonight, those of us that are listening to this message and know you as personal Savior, how thankful we are that we were brought to a place of surrender, that we allowed you to rescue us and to make us your children. Lord, that same type of surrender is necessary if we're going to take steps forward in our Christian life. And so I pray that that kind of meek spirit would be developed in each one of us that name your name, that claim to be your children. Lord, work the rebellion out of our hearts that is naturally there. Work it out of our hearts. Give us your heart of surrender. We do pray tonight that you'll just work through us. As we sit, may we receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about letting go and letting God when it comes to salvation, when it comes to being saved. You remember the account there in Acts chapter 16 where Paul and Silas were put in prison? You remember the circumstance and how that they sang praise in prison? They were put in stocks. They were beaten. There was an earthquake. Remember that? And all of the prisoners' bonds fell off. You remember the warden of that prison? He thought that they had escaped, and so he was about to commit suicide because he knew that he would die if his prisoners escaped. And he came running in, and Paul said, "Sir, do yourself no harm." And the jailer cried out, and he said what? "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And what was the answer? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, to be saved. It's initially a big surrender. It's letting go and letting God. To believe is just that. It's to exercise faith. It's to let go and to let God. That is, it's to surrender. It's to let go of your self-will. It's to let go of your self-power. It's to let go of your thinking. It's to let go of doing it your way. And it is to swap that out for trusting God's will and God's power. It's to receive God's truth and not your way of thinking. And God's ability, the only one who has the ability to rescue you from the penalty of sin. It is exchanging self-dependence for God-dependence. That's what salvation is. It's letting go and letting God. It's exchanging self-dependence for God-dependence. You can't get saved without that. Every human being that is ever saved has let go and let God. But what we want to concentrate on tonight is in this area, not of salvation, but of sanctification. Not of being saved, but of being sanctified. Because it doesn't stop once you're saved. You continue to let go and let God, even as a believer. In fact, the whole program of God, I think, is caught up in Paul's prayer for the believers there in the city of Thessalonica. He says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," or completely. "And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." In order to be saved, you must let go and let God. It requires faith. It requires that swapping, that exchange from self-dependence to God-dependence. Well, you know what Paul says in Colossians 2:6? He says this, "As ye have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him." As you let go and let God to get saved, you let go and let God to be sanctified, is what he's saying. there's two areas of sanctification that I want to apply this to tonight. And the first one is what I would call spiritual victory. And the second area is what I would call spiritual ministry. Spiritual victory, which is having victory over sin, spiritual victory and spiritual ministry serving the Lord demands spiritual energy. Doesn't happen any other way. It demands letting go of your self-dependence for God-dependence. It's letting God work through you in His and provide you the spiritual energy to exchange your will and your human ability for God's will and divine ability. It's, you ready for this? Denying yourself and depending on the Lord. So, let's take a moment and let's talk about those two areas of letting go and letting God when it comes to being sanctified. Number one, first area is for victory. For victory. Victory over sin is what we're talking about here. Would you turn in your Bible with me as quickly as possible to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Of course, if you're familiar at all with Romans chapter 6, Paul tells us in that sixth verse what we need to know in order to have victory over sin. One of the truths is that we must recognize the fact that the old person that we used to be before we were regenerated, before we were saved, died with Christ on that cross, crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that our human body would not remain the vehicle for sin that it was prior to. And then he says this in verse 13. Having said, don't let indwelling sin dominate, rule, reign in your human body. Don't let your body be a vehicle for sin. He says in verse 13, neither yield your members, that is, the parts of your human body, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, your body parts, as instruments of righteousness unto God. The tenses that are used, the verb tenses that are used in that 13th verse of Romans 6 imply something. When he says, neither yield ye your members as instruments unto sin, it implies that God is saying through the apostle, stop offering yourselves. Stop offering up your bodies. Stop offering as a voluntary sacrifice and handing over to indwelling sin the various parts of your body as a vehicle for sinful things to be carried out. Stop surrendering yourself to indwelling sin. Stop it, is what he's saying. And then in the other half of that verse, he's saying, instead, voluntarily hand over yourself to God once and for all. It's a once and for all act. Hand over once and for all your whole blood-bought body, so that all the various parts of your dedicated human body will be a vehicle for godly things to be carried out, so that you would be God-dependent. Okay? So that's, this is what it means to let go and let God. This is how you have victory over sin. It's that you surrender to God, and that then you depend upon God to deal with that indwelling sin. And then turn over with me to Luke chapter 9. And let's talk about sanctification, not only in the area of victory, but now in the area of ministry. And when I talk about ministry, I'm not talking about full-time service. I'm just talking about serving the Lord in any capacity. Let go and let God not only applies to enjoying victory in your life, but also enabling you to perform ministry in your Christian life. In Luke chapter 9, where I've had you turn, in verse 23, Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross," notice this, "daily. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it," or save it. Now, two things here. Jesus is using this truth of letting go and letting God to teach discipleship and the ministry that results from it. The ministry that results from being his follower. And I want you to see the two parts of ministry in these verses that I've shared with you here in Luke 9. The first part is surrender. And that is caught up in the phrase, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and in verse 24, lose his life. That's the let go part. That's the decision to view all of your circumstances in your daily life as a chance to die in order to have ministry, in order to serve the Lord. A chance to die to serve. That's letting go. It only happens. Real ministry for the Lord, according to this verse, it only happens when we die to self, when we surrender ourselves. Now listen to this. Stay there, but listen to this as I read. Here's Paul's description of how his ministry went and how it was successful. Listen to it. He says, "We're troubled on every side. Yea, we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed." Now listen, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Well, isn't that what Jesus said? Let go? He said, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. And he says that very thing in that 11th verse. He said, we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Why? In order that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Do you get it? In our ministry for the Lord, we cannot communicate the life of God until we ourselves have died to self. And so ministry really is a chance to die. In fact, if you don't die to self, if you don't deny yourself, if you don't surrender yourself, you really don't have ministry. You might be doing stuff. You might be active for the Lord, but you really don't have ministry until you have understood and have embraced this very principle of surrender. Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, lose his life. That's a surrender. That's letting go. I don't have ministry unless I, first of all, let go. But that's not all of it. That's only half of it. It's let go and then let God. So the other half of surrender is swap. You surrender and you swap. What's the swap? Let God. And Jesus says it there in Luke 9, verse 23 and 24. In verse 23, he says, follow me. That's the swap. Instead of following your own plan, going your own way, follow me. And then he says in verse 24, he says, do it for my sake. You don't do it for your sake. You don't do it for anyone else to see you. You do it for his sake. You follow him, you do it for his, that's letting God. So surrender is letting go, but swapping is letting God. It's depending upon God to make it happen. Even if you don't see it happening, even if you don't think anything's happening, if you don't see anything happening, you're letting God, you're trusting him because you've surrendered to him. Whether you see it happening or not. So let go and let God. It's simply a faith phrase, if you will. It's an expression of being a God-dependent Christian. And it's used to focus on the fact that the Christian life is a God-centered life. The Christian life is a life that is dependent upon God's will and God's power. And we should never be afraid to use it that way. It's, in fact, better, we must be sure that we live it. That we do let go and let God. That we do surrender to him. And then swap and depend upon him in exchange for self-dependence. Does that make sense? That's really all I have to say.